And we're back with another edition of Mai Tai Happy Hour, episode number 49.
Yes.
And joining us today, from beneath the sea, out of the darkness, into the light, comes our favorite guest host, Ken Lucas.
I'm here to cause destruction.
Ken,
you totally give me the most metal intro ever, by the way.
You deserve it. Ken,
so awesome.
You have devoured the corporate beast. You have flown the coop.
I've been paroled.
You have entered society to do your art and make people happy with the fabulous, fabulous work that you do.
Thank
you. Congratulations.
Thank you. I have no idea what I'm doing, but...
Are you scared shitless?
I am, but we're going to go off on a wing and a prayer.
Because for what it's worth, I never, ever had the balls to go full-time. Well, not full-time. I think I always was a full-time wedding photographer. I just never had the balls to just do wedding photography.
No.
Or madness. I liked health insurance. I enjoy health insurance.
Health insurance is a good thing.
Health insurance is wonderful.
It's not overrated.
It isn't.
Another person that's not overrated.
George.
The co-host with the most.
That's me.
The Chevy Chase to our National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh my God.
The only. Lick his boom boom down.
You know, I gotta say, I kind of pop now whenever I hear this song. It's kind of endeared itself to me.
Do you often hear this song?
No, I hear it in my head.
In your head.
It helps me drown out the voices.
Jesus Christ.
It's a far kinder intro for him.
My God.
I've been trying. I've stopped reaching out to the community. I've said that you can no longer come up with Hambone's nickname because
they're just dicks.
They're just mean.
They're really mean.
And meaner than me, even.
And that's hard. He was Krampus.
And Krampus will be returning soon in a couple weeks. Today, we've got an epic show for you all.
An epic show.
We are going to be going deep on this new resurgence, this new rumor. I don't even think it's a rumor anymore. It looks like Disney might actually be buying Fox.
Which is huge. Ooh,
Fox, 20th Century Fox.
Just the movies, folks. Let's, movies and TV only.
Yeah, let's be clear.
Not news and sports.
Not news and sports.
Because fuck that noise.
We'll also be talking about the Broken Matt Hardy saga, which has finally entered the WWE.
Wonderful!
We are going to go through the final battle card, where we are going to be live in a few weeks.
We are so psyched.
And what else will we talk about, Hambone?
I'm going to teach you how to make a rum-soaked eggnog.
Oh, Hambone wants us to talk about our favorite Christmas albums.
Christmas albums, too.
Christmas albums.
Christmas is in the air, y'all.
Do you know what Krampus does not like?
Christmas music?
Christmas music.
Well, most people don't like Christmas music, George. I mean, come on.
But Hambone made it a segment, so we need to speak about it.
I did.
Because
I'm involved.
Yeah. No. So first of all, you want to I can't speak English today. Eggnog.
Eggnog.
Want to talk about eggnog.
So, I mean, granted, Dave Attell once said that eggnog is nothing more than party elf cum. However, you know, we're talking about punches being that it is the holiday season. So we want to give you another option for a punch because people really do like eggnog.
Nope.
Not me. But I hear a lot of people do, so...
I have never met a single person that likes eggnog. I've never had eggnog.
Sean Dillon likes eggnog.
You know why I don't drink eggnog?
Because it's elf cum?
Because it looks like elf cum.
So this is an infamous eggnog, and it's more of a rum-based one.
Why is it infamous?
Because, I don't know, it just says
you
it's infamous.
You said infamous.
It's actually called infamous eggnog.
Okay, so it's not actually infamous.
Well, I mean, you might be infamous once you put this at a party and someone throws up in your garden. So what this is something that needs to be kept out of the reach of children. It takes a quart of good quality store-bought eggnog, because why torture yourself, folks, when you can go to Stop and Shop and you can get some nog. You're also going to put in 1.5 cups of Captain Morgan's or Sailor Jerry, 2 ounces of coconut rum, a tablespoon of cinnamon, a tablespoon of nutmeg, I guess to give it that authentic nog flavor, and a tablespoon of pure vanilla extract. Now, you're going to pour all of this into a large bottle and add all the ingredients. Start with the rum and keep adding it to taste. And you know what it says, 1.5 cups of rum, add more rum. You know what the secret is to a good drink, George?
Nope, no idea. Rum?
More rum!
Exactly.
You add more rum. So if you put this out at the party, it's not going to be your traditional style eggnog yet. people might enjoy it a little better because did I mention there's rum in there?
I believe you did.
I felt like I should drive that point home. Rum is good for everything.
So you're basically saying that eggnog is good because there's rum in it?
Anything is good with rum in it, per se.
I won't eat, like, there's like plenty of cocktails out there that involve like raw eggs. Fuck that shit.
No, yeah. I mean, Fuck that shit.
I can't do it.
It's a little more work than I want to do myself.
My vomit reflex.
Don't make the sound.
Like a real egg cream.
Oh, God. Stop, George!
Like, that's all I feel. Like, it's the most horrible thing.
Sounds like something other than vomiting.
Oh, George, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so no eggnog for me. No eggs. No raw eggs. Or, I like eggs. I like to eat eggs. Cooked eggs, scrambled. I don't like wet eggs at all.
I like over easy myself.
No, fuck that. I don't like wet. That is a baby chicken guts.
I gotta open up this can of drink now because you made that sound. Now I feel gross.
Oh yeah, like, that's pretty.
George,
that's pretty
bad. That's don't pretty bad. Make me puke. I will say this though. You know, when it comes to holiday punches, when in doubt, make a pitcher of hurricane.
That works. That works for me.
That's what we can all agree on. Pitcher of hurricane. Coquito, yeah, Coquito's a great one too. Mm.
The problem with going big on punch like that, like something like the hurricane, is you need a lot of passion fruit mix, which isn't cheap.
That's true. That is true. However, you could buy enough to make the mix. You only need about 11 ounces to make a big
that Snapple passion fruit,
and you get it for about $10.
Possibly.
You know, or Snapple, you can get the Goya passion fruit juice, and add some simple syrup to it. Bob's your uncle. Everyone goes home happy.
Just throw some Everclear in a watermelon and go
when
nuts.
In doubt, Everclear in a watermelon, right?
Goya, favorite. Goya, oh boya.
You can't beat them, but you sure can lick them.
Big news today. Actually, it was big news last week, but we didn't cover it because the news was that it never happened. The news broke that Disney was well on its way to buying 20th Century Fox, where when the negotiations fell apart.
So do you feel like Disney would be the all-time media champion? Like when they finally acquire Fox, they'll be the kings of all media, the true champs.
Well, I don't know if it's kings of all media as much as it's just they will own everything that I give a shit about other than pro wrestling.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they own pro wrestling, then forget about it. They could just direct deposit out of our account, direct withdrawal.
Like, yeah, just here, just tap my vein and you can just have my heart.
Because in the end of the day, the things that I love, Marvel Comics, pro wrestling, Dungeons and Dragons, Star Wars, they're almost all under one full umbrella. Like, I'm shocked that Disney has not bought the WWE yet.
Disney owns Dungeons and Dragons?
No, almost. I'm just saying that. Give it time.
Like, that was weird. You just...
They're going to acquire everything.
That was weird.
That was weird.
You're weird, Ken.
That was so weird. You just threw that in there. Like, you were almost trying to will it into being.
Well, I was, because I was really hoping that if Disney bought Dungeons and Dragons, they'd finally make a sweet Dungeons and Dragons movie.
And then it'd be Mickey as a playable character.
Dude, I would totally play Mickey as a playable character. Who are you kidding?
Sword in a stone.
I mean, what would Mickey be? Mickey would totally be like, what, a knight?
I'm pretty sure they did Fantasia.
Mickey'd be a fighter?
Sword in a stone, so there's your D&D.
Not quite. Well, who's that? Who?
Someone here?
Someone is here.
Oh my God, there are way too many people right now.
Do you remember the invasion angle in WCW and WWE?
I don't have enough microphones
now.
That's
okay, because what I did was a little behind the scenes work today, George.
Why is Dave Trainer and Josh here?
Well, I'm going to tell you
I like them more than both of you two, but I'm still very excited to see them here.
What's cool is this. Dave, you all ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a dance? What's happening?
No. Sit still for a second. Listen, we love the hell out of you, and you only turned 40 once.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Here is a little something from everybody.
Why aren't we live on the... We should be doing a live video right now. This is so strange.
We're getting there, buddy. For the people listening at home, George turned 40 a little while ago, went to Disneyland with his lovely wife and child, and then, on top of that, we hung out together for Survivor Series, and I got him a cake. Now, one of the other things is that we wanted to get you something cool, and we wanted to get you something nice. However, the universe wasn't playing nice with us. So what we're doing for you right now is a little bit of a belated birthday from all your pals at Headhunters, and they're all listed down there, so you can't be a dick to them this Christmas.
I was going to say, who's Tom? But I assume that's Tim, and you just can't write.
It's Tim. Well, I wrote with a Sharpie, George. I have elegant handwriting. It's not quite calligraphy, but it's close. So here, this is a little something special from everybody at Headhunters, because we love you. Happy 40th birthday, George.
since you are the champion of the headhunters, we got you.
This is insane.
Yeah, yeah.
This might be the most insane thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
We figured you do a lot for everybody. You are a champ. So we got you the Headhunter's Lounge.
I'm gold. For the first time in my life, I'm 100% speechless right now.
Yeah.
Throw it on.
He's speechless, guys.
With the tiki gods on
pretty
the
great.
Side.
Yep.
Yeah, there are.
I don't even know. It's so much cushier.
Turn around.
I feel like a winner right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm filming this for our Facebook Live, and folks, I'm actually holding the phone the right way so George won't yell at me later.
That's crazy.
So if you're looking at this belt right now, there's the Headhunters Tiki Championship belt. The side plates are all four Tiki gloves.
This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Oh, yeah.
There it is.
El Greco. El Greco.
Oh, my God.
El Greco rises.
So El Greco rises tonight, and finally, our Greek champion finally has a title belt worth his countenance and strength.
This is the greatest thing ever. I'm putting the mic on pause now, though, because... And we're back, and I am blown away. I am absolutely blown away. I'm speechless. This is the first time in my life I am speechless. For those that don't know what just happened or don't understand what just happened, my lovely co-hosts and the illustrious Dave Trainer and former co-hosts or guest hosts, Dave Trainer and Josh Goldfarb, just surprised me with the most amazing present ever. It's a Headhunters Lounge Tiki Champ title belt, championship belt. Not even a belt, it's just a championship.
It's a championship.
Featuring Tiki Gods and a pink flamingo. And I can't even speak right now. I'm like choking. I'm crying. I'm legit crying, except I've never cried because I don't actually have a heart. So it's tough to do that. Hambo, where the hell did you come up with this?
So Goldfarb and I were talking for a little while because your 40th birthday was coming up. And, you know, what do you get for the man who has everything? So I was looking into belts, and every belt that I found was just like astronomically expensive, even with people chipping in. It was just too much. And then Goldfarb was like, no, we should still do it. So we ended up stumbling upon this one place, Brigade Belts, and they were reasonably priced, very customizable, and they were supposed to have a very good turnaround time. So Goldfarb and I designed it. I picked out the front plate, and I wanted to do a flamingo, and I wanted to get palm trees in there, so Goldfarb and I went back and forth, found clip art to do it with, and then he was like, yo, what would be great for the side plates? The four Tiki Gods. So he found clip art of the Tiki Gods. We sent it in there, and we were going to have it ready for Survivor Series. Problem was, the guy's website who decided to do it, he decided to revamp the thing and not check his email. So it ended up taking a lot longer to get done than it should have, and that brings us to today.
I absolutely love it. I thank you all so very much. All the Tiki, the Headhunters Lounge, the Secret Order of the Headhunters, our little weird clan I created a while back with Shanna Smith. I can't even right now. Thank you so much. I'm not to be nice for the rest of the episode. I don't know how to do this. This is so weird.
It's going to be a gimmick year. Episode. Yeah.
So let's loop back. We're talking Fox and Disney. Obviously, the big thing to come out of this is the potential. Like they're about to pay $60 billion or something like that.
Absolutely worth it.
Basically, just to get the X-Men back.
Yep.
And the Star Wars distribution rights, right?
Right.
So I believe all the videotapes still say a 21st century Fox.
So right? the first, not well, I mean, so Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi are all distributed through 20th Century Fox. So in order for Disney to get the rights to all Star Wars movies, they're going to be spending that much money to get them back. And also, the X-Men is a smart move. Getting the Fantastic Four, believe it or not, is a smart move to get all of the Marvel properties back in-house to do with what they want. They will never get that theme park back in Florida. That being said, as far as putting out movies, putting out TVs, that's what they do now. And especially with what's going on with the Disney coming up with the streaming thing, they're going to need content. They're going to need characters.
We've talked about this in the past, but the first comic I ever got that I read was that three-pack with G.I. Joe that also had X-Men, Uncanny X-Men 213.
Right.
The X-Men shaped my existence. When I found out there were geeks and dorks out there that had their own comic book, miscreants, misfits, Morlocks, they were my people. The X-Men were what I grew up with. The X-Men's what I love. And while I have enjoyed a handful of the Fox X-Men movies, such as X-Men 1, X-Men 2, First Class, I didn't mind... The Days of Future Past, and I love Deadpool and Logan. They also have been very inconsistent, and the fact that in the Marvel Universe, the cinematic universe, they've had to come up with another way to explain mutants.
Inhumans.
It's been the one thing that just hasn't worked. Plus, Wolverine is so synonymous with the Marvel Universe that not having him part of it is just sad.
You know what's going to be interesting to me, and I absolutely agree with you there. What's going to be interesting to me is that for Marvel, this couldn't come at a better time. Because in the end of the Infinity War, you know, not so much a spoiler or a speculation at this point, but everyone's contracts are up. So there are some characters that are probably going to be dead and not coming back, like Captain America, Iron Man, Black Widow. So Phase 4, this is the perfect time for them to acquire all these characters, to bring the X-Men back into the universe in Phase 4, to bring the Fantastic Four into the universe in Phase 4.
Yes. They ruin everything. I love the X-Men, but they've ruined everything over the years.
Yeah, I think that bringing it to Disney. Yeah, but I think bringing it to Disney.
God loves, man kills. They screwed up that storyline.
Screwed it up so badly. But
twice.
I think Disney has a proven track record. Putting out like good.
I don't
to
think
great
it's
movies.
Ever good when one company buys everything. I mean, proof in the pudding. When WWE bought WCW and ECW and everything else went under, man, wrestling got really bad.
But Disney owns Marvel. They deserve the right to have their whole universe complete.
And I agree with you, Ken.
I don't disagree with that.
I agree with you. What we're talking about, though, is, and I think this is the real thing, is that Marvel is now whole again. Like, you know, these great stories that we grew up on. My friend Adam Bird, I was talking with him today, and he was like saying, he's like, I'm hoping that the second Infinity Gauntlet movie is not done yet, because now that they've bought these characters, the person who takes the gauntlet off of Thanos is the Silver friggin' Surfer.
Yeah.
Like, how do you...
They can't do that with him being in the Fantastic Four.
They can't do that with him being in the Fantastic Four universe, which is now a part of Marvel, so...
Yeah, Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer, they're all
integral to that. The stakes... And this is the thing, unlike with DC shitty movies where they try to introduce a bunch of characters, like, Marvel will actually get this off. They'll get this going right. So I'm pretty excited for the merger. One of the things that people are talking about is like, who's going to play the new Wolverine? Who would you cast to play Wolverine in the new Marvel Universe?
Glenn Danzig.
Absolutely Glenn Danzig.
That's who it originally was.
He wanted it so bad. You know what's funny, though, is that Hugh Jackman actually said in many interviews that, you know, Logan was going to be the last time he ever plays Wolverine. Unless he could be Wolverine in an Avengers movie, then he would totally do it. And I think maybe he said that in jest, thinking that there's no way in hell they're going to unite the two universes. Like, he's off the hook. But however, he might actually have to play Wolverine again.
But he's never hated playing Wolverine. He's made it clear he loves it. He'll do it as long as he can. He just feels the character, him as the character, is too old, even though that's BS. He's kind of dried up. I don't think he's like Captain America, who's been surly about it since Captain America 2.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
Or the actor who plays Captain America. Wolverine has never had a problem being Wolverine. However, on the internet, it is all over the place. I know people like my friend Anabong over at Bored at Work was complaining. He loves the X-Men movies and thinks Disney's going to fuck him up.
So weird.
And I think he's insane because...
Banana pants.
I think Marvel has done a better... Not Marvel. Fox has done a better job with Logan and Deadpool. Will Disney screw up Deadpool? Here's a thought. Deadpool, there's no R-rated comics. Deadpool is not an R-rated comic. Deadpool doesn't say fuck in the comic books.
But there's a lot of violence.
There's a lot of violence, but violence is PG-13. Like, you don't need to have an R-rated Deadpool. I know this is like, people are like freaking out right
now.
They're
getting pitchforks right now.
But I don't think Deadpool needs to be R-rated. Punisher, I believe, is actually would be considered a PG-13.
No, Punisher would be considered R-rated.
They don't say fuck in it.
It doesn't matter. They don't say fuck in it. The violence is over the top enough that it would get an R rating.
I don't.
It would get an R rating for violence.
Sure,
language.
Most of those Punisher movies are R-rated.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I'm referring to the TV show,
Dolph
Lundgren movie.
You know,
Thomas Jane.
My thought on it is I don't.
The other guy.
I think that Disney spending so much money on these properties, knowing that Deadpool is a hit because Deadpool is the way it is. This is Disney's way to be like, okay, we're going to make Deadpool, but they might call it under one of their other movie studios. Like Deadpool might not make the regular Marvel universe, or if he does, he's not going to say fuck or like jack off on a unicorn.
But he might still. I mean, we don't know. I mean, Disney made Punisher, and the new TV show is pretty fucked up.
It's R,
though. I'm not sure it's R, but whatever. I'm not going to argue semantics there. I also think that Deadpool is Deadpool because of Ryan Reynolds.
Exactly.
Not because of Fox or Disney. And if you want to keep Ryan Reynolds happy, they're going to let him do whatever the hell he wants.
Because you know what Disney's not? Allergic to money.
None. Not so ever. And I...
They love it.
And
love
also, it. Disney owned Miramax, too, which was more than R-rated in some of the stuff they
did. Although I don't know if they put it out under the Miramax umbrella anymore.
No, I know. I don't even think Miramax still exists. But
I think
this is a good thing. I'm not ashamed of it. I mean, shit, I'm sitting here being like, Disney's to buy it, even though like everybody's talking about like other companies that are looking to buy it that I might know about. Like, no, I want Disney to buy it. Disney needs to be... to own X-Men.
Disney will make their money back on the original Star Wars rights and X-Men alone. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm cool with this. I'm happy about it. I think people that are upset that this is like Monopoly type situation.
But it's not, because DC still has their universe with everything. It's not like they're buying Batman.
Bleh.
They're just buying their own characters back from another company who can't do fuck all with
them. DC's best stuff is on television.
Thank you, Ken. I'm right there with you, man.
Crisis. I only caught one episode of Crisis.
Oh,
Flash,
treat yourself.
It was real good.
Watch all four episodes. It's really good.
Real good.
Yep.
Again, everything right now is rumors, conjecture, and whatnot, but supposedly the stories that came out this week were like, no, this is super serious. I think Disney actually floated it out in the public to see if people cared.
Yeah.
And realized very quickly, no, I think we need to get this done.
Yeah.
Disney has the pockets to do it. And I don't think Fox cares anymore about having 21st Century Fox.
Fox doesn't care about making movies anymore. They just want to do their news and their sports.
So then Disney gets Aliens, Predator. What else is under Fox?
I don't know how that works. Like, I know
they get those franchises.
I don't know how the licensing agreement for those franchises work.
Yeah, I honestly don't know if that's a part of the deal or not. I just know it's X-Men. I know it's any Marvel character and the rights to Star Wars.
That'd be pretty big.
Yeah.
Because you could see a Predator in Star Wars.
Yeah, I just don't know what the licensing is with that. Like, I don't know if those were Fox-created properties, if those are licensing deals.
Yeah.
Imagine on the side of Avatar, there was like a jungle with Predator land.
Oh my God, I would just turn Avatar land into Alien
Absolutely.
Land, Predator land.
Absolutely.
It'd be a hell of a lot better than the Avatar movie. God, I hate Avatar.
The worst.
I enjoyed the theme park, though.
Yeah, I hear it's great.
What else we talk about, Hambone? I'm so happy right now.
I know, it's euphoric. Let's talk about wrestling.
No, we're not doing wrestling yet. We do wrestling at the end because nobody wants to hear about wrestling.
Okay.
Tune out.
We're talking about your favorite Christmas album.
The Muppets Christmas record.
Is there a Muppets Christmas record?
It's John Denver and the Muppets.
Fuck John Denver and the Muppets.
Dude, it's John Denver and the Muppets.
I love the Muppets.
Record.
That's really your favorite Christmas
record. For
real. Record. That's the best one you can think
100%.
Of.
100%. 100%. Muppet, it's a Muppet Christmas.
So I only listen to Christmas music on one day.
Is it Christmas?
Christmas.
That's it.
Not Greek Christmas?
Just Christmas is the only time of year I listen to Christmas music. And on that day, I like to mix it up. I like some Twisted Sister Christmas music.
That's cool.
I like some Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Is that all instrumental or does he sing on that?
He sings on those.
Yeah.
I like some Cocktail Capers Lounge Christmas music.
I can get behind Lounge Christmas.
And my favorite Christmas album on earth. Which is?
The Offspring Christmas record.
There is no fucking Offspring Christmas record.
Probably the Bad Religion.
Hey, you can't be mean to me.
Bad Religion Christmas record?
The Bad Religion Christmas album. Yes, Ken, my true friend. My good friend. Thank you, Ken.
What's your favorite Christmas record, Ken?
You know, I make that lovely mix at a Winnable every year, so I just have tons and tons and tons of Christmas songs.
Ken does make an incredible... Well, you make two mixes every year. You do your Halloween mix.
I do a Halloween
mix. And you do the Christmas mix.
I do the Christmas mix, which I have to probably get going on, but...
I don't know if I could narrow it down to a record. There's usually a lot of songs, but if I have to say a comp, Trojan Christmas is a reggae Christmas album. Really nice. Good. Four discs.
That's four discs?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Lump of Coal is also a good one from the 90s. It had Henry Rollins reciting Night Before Christmas.
That's actually quite pretty interesting.
That is pretty interesting sounding.
I love the Bad Religion one because Bad Religion does it like not tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, no, it's pretty straight
up. And they don't do like Jingle Bells and Frosty the Snowman. They do like the hardcore
like Oh Come All Ye Faithful.
Exactly.
Hark the Herald.
Yes, yes. Like the real Jesus ones. Like Son of Israel, rise up with the star. Yeah, and
joy
like,
to the world.
Yeah, it's nuts. And it's actually, I think they re-release it every year. I think everybody should get on vinyl. Support the greatest punk band of all time. Not named The Offspring.
The Damned
are actually pretty great too.
Damned are pretty great too.
They're pretty great.
And I know Twisted Sister plays it right up the middle too. They make like legit.
Yeah, they do have some.
They do like a legit Christmas album.
Christmas stuff.
It's a little bit louder.
I'll never forget that time I walked into your, when you lived in the house with your brother, and I walked, you weren't expecting me, and I found you naked, buttered up, listening to the Mariah Carey album, just dancing around your house with a
well, how else does one bake? How else does one bake Christmas cookies for their friends and family, George? I mean, come on.
That very was, risky business.
And that's the weirdest part of this whole story.
That's true. I did at least wear a hairnet over my balls. Because I believe in food safety, man.
And Christmas
food safety
stocking.
Is very, very important.
I will have it be known that Hambone has a new pair of pants today. Another new pair.
New
they
jeans,
fit,
yo.
Fit them nicely.
It's not all jeans,
not all testicles.
I went with the 505 instead of the 501 because I'm a fan of the zipper fly instead of the button fly. Button fly, especially with a few drinks, and you use a lot of work.
Unless you have the scars I have on my penis, you learn. You learn that there is nothing good about zippers.
Lord
I only wear Goostin. I only wear Selvage. I only wear button flies.
I'm a big fan of Levi's and jeans with zippers.
I like Dickies.
I also have only washed my jeans once a year.
Yeah.
On their anniversary of birth.
And you take like a Sharpie, write like a born on date inside of them on the label? Or
Yep. I'm just like, when do you wash them? Once a year. It's like, you know, like their baptism every single year.
Now, do you buy them in bulk or are they different times of year? Like having like multiple children, yet they have a birthday
each one? No, they it's kind of crowdsourced. So like they have different, if they get this quantity of denim at a certain time, they'll cut it just for the amount of people that want it. So that's why I have like the white on white and the like red on blue that I've worn. Now I'm wearing my black Japanese, I don't know what the hell. These were actually gunmetal gray.
Yeah, I got mine at JCPenney's. You know, we're mom shop. And I got a good deal. I got two pairs.
Are you mom hunting?
I'm always mom hunting.
Damn straight. This man is available. He's ready to hunt. He's ready to love. Yeah. He's ready to cuddle. He's looking good. He's looking fine in that Lost Boys shirt. Hambone is ready to make someone happy.
Someone find some mistletoe in your old buddy Hambone.
Call on in, people. 973-865-4923.
I don't even know if that's a real number.
No idea. I'm sure it's somebody's number. So.
Awkward.
Big thing that happened the last couple weeks. My favorite game of all time. Now, you guys are board game guys. I'm a card game guy. And the game that truly, I mean, it was almost like created for me was Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, this is just the most vicious card game ever. It was developed by some New York kids. It's almost open source. They give you the ability to make your own cards.
Which I think is super cool.
But they're also just, their marketing tactics are insane. Their whole, like, outlook on, again, this is a game you could make yourself. They give you the templates for it. Or you can pay the $20 or whatever it is to buy a giant big black box of cards. But they have taken such an amazing approach to getting their political views across, their marketing tactics. 2 weeks ago, they announced that they will no longer be called Cards Against Humanity. They were now a potato chip company called Prongles. And if you had gone, it was on Black Friday, and if you had gone out to Target on Black Friday, there would be Prongles on the shelf.
No kidding.
People bought Prongles, and there were Prongles on the shelf.
Did you get Prongles?
I did not because it was Black Friday.
Oh,
I was
not
going out. But they also changed the website for the day was Prongles.com. The Cards Against Humanity actually went to Prongles.
I downloaded the theme song.
Really?
Yes.
But then I went back again, and it looks like they're now Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, yeah, they just print money, that company.
But the annual thing they do, and the thing I love about them, is they usually do an annual holiday-themed thing.
Right.
You send them $15, they send you awesome shit.
Yeah.
The first year, I didn't do it the first year, I did it the second year, which was the 12 Days of Krampus or something, probably right. because of that. And my friend Joe Papio told me, you had to do it, send them the $15, you won't be disappointed. I got so much cool shit, including, like, drugs that make your food, like, salty food taste sweet, and sweet food taste salty.
That's
they
weird.
They sent me just the weirdest stuff, including, at the end of it, they sent me a 1x1 square foot deed to an island in Maine that they bought and renamed the Cards Against Humanity Island.
That's awesome.
So I am a part owner of an island in Maine that I can go to. You need a boat to access it. And in there, on the island, if you find this hut with a safe in it, there is Cards Against Humanity just for the people who bought the island.
That's
who have
awesome.
A piece of the island. Then the year afterwards was the Hanukkah year, and they just gave us socks every day because that was practical gifts.
That's a practical gift.
And the year afterwards, they gave us like a piece of a castle in Ireland, like a deed to a castle in your home country. I actually own like a square foot of a castle.
You own more of Ireland than I do.
Don Becker too, probably.
Yeah, I think Don did that too. And so this year, last year I think they said they weren't going to do it. This year they decided to, and they did it. It's just like 9 days of shit they're sending us. But the first thing they did, so it started coming, and the first day I got, this is just nuts, the legal letters to, they bought, I got a map here because it comes with the map, I'm not kidding with the level of quality in this stuff they do, they bought a very large swath of land between Mexico and the U.S.
God.
Border. To cock block Donald Trump.
That's amazing!
And they gave all of us a share of this. Like, a legal... Like, I own a share of
nice.
The wall.
Congrats.
To prevent Trump
to,
from
to
trying
prevent
to build a wall in Mexico.
In that section.
Oh my god, that's so good.
The letter of the intent. And they actually hired a legal team. Like, a legit legal team. To make it as difficult as possible... For Trump to try to get eminent domain on this.
Oh my shit.
All this stuff is legit. Again, best $15 I could ever spend.
You could ever spend on anything, yeah.
Yeah. But the funny part was today, they said they're going to build a... Since what Trump is doing, building a wall on the border, is so archaic. It's like 18th century, like just... rationale on not even older than that. They were going to make a weapon to destroy the wall from that same era, and they erected a giant catapult today.
Oh, they built a trebuchet.
Yeah, a trebuchet.
Yes!
To knock down whatever wall is actually built.
Oh, that's
and they
so
put
good.
It on the land that we all own.
So nice. You own a land, and there's a trebuchet in your land.
There's a trebuchet. I own part of a trebuchet. Yesterday,
awesome.
I got another letter from Cards Against You. By the way, I cannot encourage anyone more. Anytime they do a stunt like this, I know a lot of people were turned off about 4 years ago on Black Friday. They said if you send them $10 or $5, they would send you bullshit.
And they
and they did. They sent everybody a little box of hardened bullshit. Nothing in it, no card, no nothing. But then the year after, they followed it up by sending us the Krampus stuff, which included the now famous Ebola card and the George Coronius card. I have the George Coronius card.
Yeah, you do.
It's the best thing ever. But yesterday I received another letter, and they said that, you know, while the world is sad right now, everybody's really upset, the headlines suck, you know, everything's stress diarrhea. Between 1990 and 2010, the number of people living in extreme poverty fell in half. From 43% to 21%, a reduction of almost 1 billion people. And from 1900 through 1997, the United States infant mortality rate declined almost 99%. Newborn pandas are the size of a stick of butter.
That's cool.
We hear a lot of bad news, and we want you to have some good news. So they've launched their own podcast, the Good News Podcast, thegoodnewspodcast.fm.
Nice.
I think everyone should go join. It's on iTunes or wherever you want. They sent us some good news stickers and cards, and it's just happy thoughts.
That's what we
wonderful.
Need.
Like good
that's
news stickers,
need.
Like Norway. Norway, once knighted a penguin.
Nice.
Like, just little things. So, I don't know what else is coming. I heard there's a baseball stadium that's been renamed the Cards Against Humanity Stadium, like a professional stadium started being signage. So, I'm sure that's part of all this. I just want to know what your thoughts are. I know some of you play this game.
I love Cards Against Humanity. That, you know, it's a company that I will always support because they do some cool stuff like this. It's a game that I've definitely played with people I thought maybe were a little square, and I got to see some real dark, savage sides of them, which I thought was pretty cool because it's something that's, to me, a really, really great icebreaker game. Now, granted, I have also run into people in airports sitting on the floor playing it, which I thought was kind of bold. Because there are some cards in there that could be a wee bit offensive to the average Joe or Jane.
I win every time with the Jew card.
Oh, yeah, well, there's like five cards in this set that no matter what, when you play them, you win. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool thing. I think it's a cool concept, and yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, everything they're doing is cool.
Yeah. Ken?
You know, I've met a couple of those guys many moons ago through some mutual friends, and I respect what they do. I don't really play the game. I have played it. I've played it with people, some of our friends that are lewd and whatnot, and they end up being kind of boring sometimes in their answers.
Isn't that always funny? The people you think are going to be the
ones. Right. The librarians go nuts.
Yeah, well, you always got to watch out a librarian. You know,
but
they get down.
I respect their ideas and their model. They just have what's seen as a card game, and they're going above and beyond and trying to reinvent the wheel and change people's mentality.
And the thing is, the buttload of cash they're probably making off of this, they're actually buying like islands with,
which is pretty cool, and a stadium, and then a wall to cock block Trump. So I'm on their team.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I'm going to support Cards Against Humanity. I know people who bought the box got bored of it. Just keep buying expansion packs. It stays fun, and you know, it's a little odd when you play with your parents.
Did you play with your parents?
No, one of our friends has. I'm not saying who.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's very strange. He may have been in this room before.
That's a gem.
I bet it begins with a J.
I might be wrong, but I think it was him who was playing with his parents. But I don't know, I'd be very weirded out.
Nothing like grandma playing that's a card like, that's a bigger blacker dick.
That's like the few times I've accidentally watched Outlander with my mother.
I mean, we watched Andrew Dice Clay on HBO during Christmas with the family once. That's pretty crazy.
That's pretty cool.
That's the equivalent of playing Cards of Humanity with your parents.
Switching topics, let's go to the wrestling now. So, you know, if you guys don't like the wrestling conversation, go check out. But the first part is kind of engaging for you old Attitude fans. Matt Hardy, the quintessential Hardy boy, one half of the tag team, the Hardys.
V1.
The one, the only, has finally broken on WWE TV.
Delightful!
Ken, can you explain us to us a yes. little bit about what this Matt Hardy character is?
It was a gimmick he developed with his brother in his former company, TNA, Global Force, whatever they are now.
Impact
Wrestling. And it seemed like it was a character almost out of desperation. It was born out of another character. He was doing the iconic Matt Hardy where he was, you know, this really boastful champ. And, then he had a feud with his brother where he said, his brother had broken him and broken his spirit and his want to wrestle. And he became very evil and chased his brother down, had many matches and suddenly started talking in a weird accent. It almost seemed like he was channeling some weird 70s cult movie heroes and villains and
he could travel through space and time.
It developed into this thing where he was suddenly born of ancient deities and could travel through space and time, and he reinvented a kind of wrestling angles to a degree. He did a wrestling angle that was so bizarre and bad everyone should have laughed at it, but in turn, it just got so many people wrapped up in what he was doing.
And he brought in his brother was reinvented as
Brother Nero.
Brother Nero. He brought his wife in to play piano.
His son.
His son.
His father-in-law.
Yes.
Senior Benjamin.
He made a drone, Vanguard 1. It became their like pet drone that would spy on people. And I think he was also the tool for transportation and teleportation. It was this amazing angle that towards the end of their contract with TNA, when they knew they were probably going to leave, they started wrestling in other federations. It was called the Quest for Gold, right?
Expedition.
Yes. Expedition of gold. And they started collecting tag belts from all these other federations, culminating with the second biggest next to Impact, the Ring of Honor, the Honorable Ring of Honor. And they won those belts the month before WrestleMania. We're like, there's no way they're going to be on WWE TV because Vince would never understand this gimmick. And it turns out they had a one-month contract. They lost the belts the night before WrestleMania. And at WrestleMania, their dream was realized when they came in out of nowhere, won the WWE Championship, Tag Team Championship, and their story then ended on an up note.
Yeah, they went out on top with their expedition of gold.
Behind the scenes, Matt Hardy has been fighting TNA Impact to get the rights to the gimmick. It looks like either they paid them off or Impact realized maybe we should be nicer to people and we'll get fans. But regardless, last week Matt broke again and the storyline continues. Is this a good thing, Hambo?
I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing because when you have a performer who really loves the character, who really believes in the character, you get the best work. You get the best stuff out of it. I mean, I initially saw the broken thing and I was like, I don't know about this. This is kind of weird. And then I, like Ken said, you know, you watch it and you think you're supposed to be laughing at it, but you're really completely engrossed in it. And, you know, I was rooting for Matt to get the rights to his character back. And it was pretty cool because he would still be able to do the character on the indies. So when we saw the Hardys on their last night on the indies at the House of Hardcore show, they did the whole broken Matt thing, which I thought was great. And honestly, I think this is exactly what Bray Wyatt needs to kind of reignite his action because he's gone rather stale in the last year and a half.
Well, they fumble with Wyatt a lot. It's not even his fault. Like, Wyatt delivers, and yeah, he's gained some weight, and he's not putting out in the ring as he once was, but he could lose the weight. Like, writers don't stand behind Wyatt and you know, and what he's trying to do, and he doesn't win belts, and he loses all his matches, and, you know,
he gives these speeches where you're like, you're going to win your match, I'm going to win my, I will destroy everybody, and then and you lose your match.
But I think the Matt Hardy thing, you know, I'm a little trepidatious, because it's not a Vince creation, so it very might, you know, Vince McMahon might, you know, put the fire out before it begins. You know what I mean?
The promo we saw the other night,
it was awesome. It sounds the fans are behind him.
That he wrote it. Like, it's because I don't know that Vince and Vince's people could write that for Matt Hardy.
I mean,
he spent an entire year not breaking character in public.
No, on a lot of interviews, if you listen to a lot of interviews and podcasts he did during the broken era in TNA, he is constantly in character.
Yeah.
The only time I saw him not in character was in the Being the Elite episode number 39 or 40 when they were talking to him backstage and he was out of character. But I don't think he knew they were recording him.
Yeah.
I am cautiously optimistic. I, unlike most people, I really didn't love the promo the other day when they were cutting between Bray and Matt. I thought it was a little weird. I didn't like the fact that Matt was in front of a blue, like, unironed, like, wrinkled sheet, and just, it seemed weird. I would have rather have him been with his piano in a smoky room.
Right.
Like, just some of the ambiance and atmosphere that we need. I'm not looking for Final Deletion 2, but I am looking for the soul of it. The problem I have is, are they going to have to, I think they had to redo this from scratch. I don't think you can pretend like the history of Impact that, you know, 50 people saw, even though the diehard fans did see it, that anyone's really going to understand what's going on.
I think that the thing that Matt Hardy has working in his favor is WWE.com, where they will let you do anything. And I think he knows that. And he's been shooting videos and putting up videos on Twitter through WWE.com. Like, he's going to take advantage of every opportunity he has to make this get over again and stay over and do it his way. I mean, because look, I mean, Ken tonight's wearing a Showdown in the Swamp shirt. Like, WWE as of late hasn't been too afraid to do some things that are left to center, like
Southpaw.
So I think with social media being what it is, with the network being what it is, and also their .com, like, letting you do kind of whatever you want, I think he's got a fighting chance at making this good.
I also know that recently WWE cut some weird deal with Facebook Live. Yes. Where they're going to be doing original programming for Facebook Live. So it is very possible that this could be something that would appear on it. Because most people didn't watch the Final Deletion on Impact TV. They saw it on YouTube.
Yep.
Because they were very smart and posted all that stuff on YouTube. And it became one of the top viewed things, like, ever.
It's their top... Impact, especially, is top viewed thing of all time.
I'm excited. I love the fact that they reactivated Vanguard 1. And I love that Senior Benjamin's putting the shirt on and dusting off the Twitter account. So hopefully they're going that deep into it. Because it needs to. This is weird. This is weird sci-fi shit.
Yeah, like, it's like cult, you know, yeah. Sci-fi... thriller, but it's how it's shot in that kind of like...
It's like True Detective stuff.
Yeah, here. No, it's really...
Season one.
Season one, specifically.
It's like a bad cop movie, also.
It's like a bad drug fever dream.
It's so crazy.
You know, I'm excited for it. And to me, anything that... look at the Fashion Files. The Fashion Files makes me excited for SmackDown because... It's one segment out of all the segments that's something that's a little bit different, which gives you a nice reprieve from the normal... We've seen this match 6 times.
And those guys are great.
Those guys are great, too. So, like, seeing that, I think he'd probably have an even better time if he was on SmackDown. I think he'll make it work on Raw.
Yeah, I think so, too. I want to see what they do with his brother when he comes back. The crowd clearly wants Brother Nero.
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling Vince wants Jeff to have one more run at the top, though.
Yeah.
And that Brother Nero character is a little strange. I don't see why... The way it's happening right now is the same way it happened in Impact, except Jeff Hardy broke his leg in the motorcycle accident.
Right.
They had to forfeit the belts. Matt blamed him for everything. They came back. They had the match where Jeff Hardy broke him, and then he got struck by lightning, and then he lost his memory. All right, well, before that, right now Jeff Hardy is out of commission for, I think he had a rotary cuff that he finally just, it may have been nagging for a while. So they could go that route again. I don't know. I don't. Jeff Hardy always looked like he was doing Brother Nero just to make his brother happy. I think the WWE machine wants a little more from Jeff Hardy than that. So
agreed.
I don't know. They might. I don't know whether they might leave him out. We'll figure out what's happening. I'm curious to see where that goes.
Yes.
So moving on to other wrestling talk. I think we're
wonderful.
All
wonderful. Yeah.
Delightful.
I need to put some of those on here.
Oh, totally.
I think I absolutely need those.
You need the yes.
I mean, right now it's largely just Conan the Barbarian stuff.
Can't go wrong with that.
I've moved some new stuff on there. I'm trying to find a very particular drop from Big Mouth on Netflix for Hambone that I have not been able to secure yet, but I'm working.
I've seen that whole series and I'm afraid.
Oh, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But we are all attending Final Battle, Ring of Honor.
Can't wait.
I believe it's like their WrestleMania or close to it, either their SummerSlam.
Starcade.
Their Starcade. Next Friday night, we are going to do next week's episode, we're going to do the Clash Championship review. So we figured since this is going to air the night before, this would have aired the night before next week, we'll just do the preview now. I got to say, in all honesty, guys, I was a little worried about this card.
And I know you were.
I'm still a little bit. This isn't the greatest card they've ever had.
I don't know.
I mean, they had Kenny Omega down in Florida.
They did, but
they might be having some run-ins. Who knows?
I could take or leave Kenny Omega at this point. No, seriously. I mean, it's kind of like I've the first.
Right, let's go over the card. Let's not listen to Hambone anymore.
Do you know the card yet, Ken?
I breezed over some of them matches, but I don't know the whole card.
So the grudge match is The Addiction, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian versus War Machine, Ray Rowan Hansen.
Good match.
I have a feeling this is War Machine's last match in the Ring of Honor.
It might be.
I think they're going to greener pastures. I'm hearing Japan. I'm hearing WWE.
Oh.
I'm hearing there's interest. Special attraction match. This was recently added. Is Matt Taven versus the Aerial Assassin Will Ospreay?
That'll be fun.
It'll be nice to watch. I've heard Will Ospreay has been kind of a dick lately.
Really?
I don't know who Matt Taven is.
He's from the Kingdom.
Yeah.
With Mike Bennett.
Very cool. Okay, I can deal with that. I like my UK. That's what you're talking about, the Kingdom, right? The United Kingdom?
No.
Oh,
the Kingdom was a Mike Bennett tag team in Ring of Honor.
Wait, Mike Bennett is fucking...
Yes,
Maria Kanellis. Mike Kanellis.
Yeah,
she was in the Kingdom, all right, too. Blah, blah, blah. I want to see Ospreay do his thing. I wish Ricochet was there, but I think Ricochet's wrapping up his shit right now.
Yeah, I think he's wrapping up his shit in a fast manner. WWE.
Yeah, Ring of Honor six-man tag man champ. Now, this was a recent... Now, did they explain this in, like, TV? Are you caught up on this yet?
Oh, yeah, I'm almost caught up on TV.
So, did the Young Bucks, like, show up and say, I want to be in this?
No, this has been going on TV, like, leading up to... Look, the Young Bucks are the six-man tag champions. It's the Hung Bucks, actually. It's Hangman Page and the Young Bucks.
Yeah, it is.
You know, they've been the six-man tags. That's why when this card got announced, I was shocked that they weren't on it. And you were like, I don't know. I was like, it's going to happen, George. Trust me.
And they're fighting Flip Gordon, Dragon Lee, and Titan.
And I am shit excited about that. Flip Gordon is awesome.
Then Ring of Honor Television Championship Four Corners Elimination Match. Does that mean they have to touch all four corners?
Yes.
Oh, shit, really?
Yes.
Shane Taylor versus Silas Young versus Punishment Martinez versus the Ring of Honor World Television Champion Kenny King.
Yeah, that one's going to be a go to the merch table booth.
I think it'll be okay. I mean, look, I'm expecting the best at all of this. I just kind of wanted to see some of my favorite people on the indie circuit. And I'm not seeing, like, I would have liked to have seen, now that they're doing talent sharing with Lucha Underground and Impact, I would have liked to have seen Johnny Mundo or, like, Pentagon Jr.
Oh, I would have loved to see Pentagon or Johnny Mundo. Or,
I don't know.
Johnny Mundo.
I want to see some of this sharing happen sooner and later, because Ring of Honor's talent roster is gone. It's NXT right now.
Well, no, I mean, more accurately, Ring of Honor's talent roster is the Bullet Club and then everyone else. What's the next match?
Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship. The Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin versus the Best Friends, Beretta and Chucky T. That should be good.
That's going to be really good.
Dream Match, non-title. The Villain, Marty Scurll versus Jay Lethal.
That's going to be awesome.
It would be better if it was for the title. I think it's going to be for the title. I think they're going to do something.
They'll probably do something.
There's no way that can't be for the title. Non-title.
Jay Lethal.
And then main event, nothing here to look at. I'm not impressed. It's the American Nightmare Cody, if champion. What does that mean? Versus Dalton Castle.
Dude, that is going to be a great match.
Dude,
but what if he's not the champion?
He'll still be the champion.
Oh, you didn't go to the outdoor ROH show with us, did you?
No, but Cody Rhodes wasn't there.
No, but Dalton Castle.
I love Dalton Castle. Yeah. I love
Nakamura
Dalton
was
Castle.
There.
Nakamura was there.
But I don't think Cody is that great.
You know what? I love Cody Rhodes.
I like what he's doing, at least being the elite.
I like what he's doing. I like the character. I think he's a good in-ring hand. And I think Dalton Castle, this is finally Dalton Castle's time. Like, we saw, how many years ago was that? That was,
and he was on top then.
And he was on top then. He needs a belt. This is going to be something cool.
So I do believe the Young Bucks are probably going to interfere and take out the slave
boys.
I'm pretty sure your boy is going to be there doing his dick flip.
Oh, no,
Joey,
that's the next night.
Ryan.
That's the next night.
No. He's going to be here too because they're close enough to the show that's happening.
He's got a show in a different place.
Earlier in the day.
Is it early in the day?
Yes, he'll be here.
Oh, that's
awesome. He's on Being the Elite.
Yeah,
now he's on
Joey,
Being the Elite.
Joey, Ryan.
Isn't there a match with the Briscoes and Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer?
That was on here. I don't see it here now.
Yeah, because I saw it. They had it on the other day, and I thought that Bully Ray retired.
Bully Ray retire?
Yeah.
I'm looking up Wikipedia.
Joey Ryan.
Keep talking.
Joey Ryan is... I'm very excited. I'm going to see Joey Ryan the next night at Pro Wrestling Magic.
I can't wait to go to that, too, if you tell me more people who will wrestle on that show, because they're not advertising anything else.
They're terrible at advertising.
There's one match.
It's a bunch of people that I haven't heard of most of these people. I'm going to see Joey Ryan suplex some dude with his dick.
Do you know the promoters, or are you just going to see Joey Ryan?
Well, it popped up in one of my feeds, and he was there at one previously, but we were doing something else that night, and he won the title, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to come back and defend the title in December. So I was like, I'm going. It was like $35 for front row.
So it's still listed on Wikipedia. It was supposed to be Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer versus the Briscoes. I can't imagine the Briscoes not wrestling.
No, that's what I'm saying. The Briscoes, the Ring of Honor pay-per-views are long, too. They put a lot of matches in, so the Briscoes are totally going to have to be there. And that might be, maybe that's Bully Ray's last match, but I thought he retired.
Do you think that they just haven't updated yet? Like, the show hasn't gotten to that point yet?
Well, I mean, they just updated the Young Bucks last week, so I don't know.
Let's see. At the live event, Ring of Honor World Champion defeated... All right, so you're talking about what happened previously on. Cody avoided a confrontation and attacked Castle the next night, injuring Castle's shoulder. At Global War Chicago, Cody was taking pictures of fans prior to his match, only for one of the fans to be a masked Castle. Castle later issued a challenge for Cody's championship. I don't know. I love Dalton Castle. Cody Rhodes is still stardust to me on the indie circuit.
We'll see what happens.
So much better. I really just want to see Joey Ryan show up. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm a big fan of low expectations.
Oh no, I know.
Going low. Hambone's a big fan of high expectations. Like, I'm gonna go in amped. It's gonna be awesome, and then he'll still be awesome afterwards because Hambone.
Listen, the only thing that ever let me down was the Damned. And that was unavoidable.
The Damned, but you know what the worst part is?
They fucked everybody.
The worst part is you need... Yeah, but then they came back around and had a better show that we went to. They realized that was a horrible idea to do a tour where you just do your albums from the 80s.
Backwards.
And only Ken Lucas would like them.
Wow, that's rude.
They only played Jack and the Beanstalk.
I like punk Damned. I don't necessarily like the goth Damned.
But you like the goth Damned.
Well, either way, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a fun time in New York.
That hurts, Ken.
Oh, man.
We're totally going to get a picture taken with the Young Bucks.
It's Hammerstein awesome. Ballroom, next Friday, final battle. It's sold out.
Oh, yeah. I bought a ticket on StubHub. I'm four rows behind you.
I know. It's sold out before they announced the card,
you
which
didn't
means
get
they
tickets
can phone
with
it
us?
In.
So this season is my busy season at work, and I was like, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it. And Don bought tickets within like 30 seconds.
No, yes. Don literally said
10 seconds.
No, Ken got fucked the worst.
Yeah.
Don literally said, hey, I'm looking to buy Ring of Honor tickets. Who's interested? And I guess I saw it instantly and said, I'm in. And then a second later he goes, okay, just bought front row tickets, me, you, and my buddies. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And then I'm just like, oh, great. I'm like, no one else.
And a minute later, I'm like,
Ken's like, I want a ticket. And Don goes, sorry, got tickets already.
Don?
Yeah, it was.
So where are you sitting?
Next to them, Don got a ticket in their booth, he said.
Good.
He did so fast. He got so fast, he was able to find the tickets next to us. And
yeah, he like, I blinked. But then I found out that I was going to be, I took the day off, and I'm like,
bad
I'm
Don.
Totally going.
Bad Don.
Yeah, so I'm really
okay,
excited
Don,
to go.
I forgive you.
Rant of the week.
Rant of the week.
Fucking, oh, am I going to say it right? Is it the Wachovia Center?
Oh, fuck the Wachovia Center.
What's the name of the one in Philly? Is it the
Wachovia Center.
Oh, they don't work with Ticketmaster or Ticket whatever live shit fuck. They
or is it Wells Fargo?
They do Wells Fargo. It's Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo. Fuck Wells Fargo.
Fuck Wells Fargo. They do their own ticket sales. And normally I would be pro that because, you know, fuck Ticketmaster. Like, I believe in not screwing over people. But at least Ticketmaster right now has transparent pricing, and you know that a price is a price when you buy it. Like, it says it's $110. It's $110, maybe with $2 shipping and handling now. They don't deal with the fees anymore. This fucking place, like, tickets are $85. You add it to your card, and they put a $30 per ticket fee on.
Ugh. Fuck that.
And since they know NXT can't sell out anymore because they could barely sell out Brooklyn 3, they're now starting off first only hard cam open, only lower bowl. So the seats are actually affordable for lower, like the front row. It's $125. Once you factor in the fees, it becomes like $200, which is still not bad for, you can't get the front rows because those are part of the premium package now.
Right, yeah.
But you can get the corner front rows,
which are still pretty good rows.
And it's a small arena, so it's only like 8 rows deep. But where they start screwing you is the lower bowl, which is like $110 to $85, which is okay until it's $85 plus a $30 per ticket fee, and then it becomes $110, and then it's like $12 shipping and handling, and this tax, and that tax. And like, I feel comfortable buying tickets for Barclay, where, first of all, NXT, seventh row off the floor, Brooklyn 3, $65 all in.
Not bad.
$65 all in. The same ticket is $110 before fees. So it'd be $150 at that center, at the whack-off center.
Ridiculous. Fuck them.
Yeah, so you know what? I'm going to watch Ricochet debut from the comfort of my probably George Collazo's living room.
Yeah, I'm into that. I'm super into that. Hey, but you know what's cool? In January... on the 26th. They're going to be doing NXT in Tom's River before that show. So we could actually go see those people down in Tom's River when they're, you know, getting the matches ready to go to Philadelphia. We'll see them the night before for like $40.
Part of me, though, wants to wait till February to see the Asbury Park show.
Yeah, is it? Are they definitely doing an Asbury Park
they
one?
They always do.
Yeah, Asbury. Yeah,
I'm good with it.
I mean, I could probably do both, but I mean, if I'm going to spend the money...
I want to see Adam Cole, baby!
Because Tom's River is kind of far.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not that much further than Asbury.
Philly. Yeah, Asbury.
Yeah, so we'll see. I want to keep up our Asbury Park...
No, Asbury Park's where it's at. We'll go to Little Buddy's Hideaway. We'll go to Porto. We'll have a nice time together.
What cool shit do you love this week, Hambone?
What cool things do I love this week? George, let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you, I'm excited about this tiki belt. I am so relieved.
Jesus Christ, dude. That's something I should love.
Well, listen, man. You can't love it.
Why don't you prepare?
I do prepare. I've been waiting. I put this whole thing together to get them here to surprise you, man.
You're blowing my levels.
You know, I'm actually the thing I'm really excited about, because I've just been working you. Psych. The Psych movie finally comes out tomorrow night, December 7th. John Cena's in it. Charlotte's in it. It's been 3 years since we've seen our favorite detectives at Psych. And Psych's one of my favorite TV shows of all time. And I think if this does good, we're going to get more Psych movies. So I am shit excited. Me and Jen and Rob are going to get together. We're going to eat some snacks. We're going to watch some Psych.
Do you know, this is you, Hambone. What cool shit do you love this week? Stapler. Stapler. I love staplers this week. Well, staplers are my favorite thing in the world.
If I was really pulling it out of my ass...
Brooms. I love brooms this week, guys.
I would have pulled out my Macho Man Randy Savage Christmas ornament, George, so suck it. But no, I'm really excited about Psych. It's happening, y'all, and I'm really hyped.
Ken, what's tantalizing you this week?
I'm not psyched about Psych.
That's okay. We're still friends.
However, I'm psyched about my UK title. I'm psyched I quit my job.
Congratulations on both.
You.
So
thank
proud
you.
Of you, dude. Woo!
I got a big show this weekend. I'm psyched about that. Nice. Old Bethpage, New York. Bizarre Haunted Flea Market.
Love it.
George, what are you excited about this week?
Where is it? I got... That's behind you. I don't even need to show you. We're not on TV. Funko announced just for their subscribers for the Funko thing. They're like, oh, and this is what I've been waiting for them to do forever for their Marvel Collector Core. They're like, hey, just limited edition for you guys. Here's a collector's edition gold Iron Man.
Nice.
And it was like the normal price of like $12 plus shipping and handling.
Not bad.
So I have me a gold Iron Man.
Nice.
More shit I don't need, but I love.
That's okay.
Anywho, let's start off right off the bat. The great Ken. How can people get in touch with you, Ken?
You can find me everywhere on the internet, Instagram, Facebook, all that fun stuff, at Kurse, KURSSE. And you could catch me on the podcast Office of the General Counsel with the talented Ed Coleman.
Every week?
Every other week or so.
When are you going to get your web set up?
Soon. I'm working on a lot of things, but now I have extra time.
You kind of need to make money. Website. I will be harassing you weekly.
He will, for real.
Get that website up.
Thank you.
I love you, Ken. Do other people tell you that, too?
Yeah, some people do.
All right, good. Get that website up.
Do it.
WordPress is your friend. Just get a template. And Hambone.
You can reach me at Hambreaker. I'm very active on Twitter nowadays. If you hit me up or slide into my DMs, I'll respond to you. Just don't give me any mean nicknames, you jerks.
Slide into those DMs.
Slide into those DMs.
Slide into them. I mean, there's no better way to go than into Hambone's DMs. I am George. You can reach me at glkcreative.com, where I still have a few more weddings to fill. I just started blogging again. You can reach me at cultofgeorge.com. I just put up my Bruce Dickinson autobiography review today. It's not very good. Also, you can get a hold of me at glkcreative and on Instagram, at glkcreative on Twitter. You can find me wherever your favorite books and videos are sold. I am George. That is Hambone. Hit the music.
Everybody remember, be nice. Aloha.
Every dead body that is not exterminated becomes one of them. It gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill.